Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and yes, welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you. I'm actually going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Oh, we've got a fantastic show planned for you this evening. This one is a little slightly different. And I know you all hear me from time to time talk about that. I want to take this special opportunity to thank all of you all that have sent your congratulatories in terms of my being on the air now for 7 years and counting, with well over 950 shows that we've done. So I want to say I'm humbled by this experience. It's been a joyous, a really joyous ride. I remember just this, as recent, it was almost as if it was just yesterday that we started out, and I was sitting in a little small room and had all of this equipment that was today is so outdated, but I was sitting there with all of this going on, and I just kept thinking, wow, this is something that I really want to do. I really want to do this. Be a radio show host. And I remember having a young lady that worked for me at the time. Her name was Grace. And Grace, as a matter of fact, Grace could speak very little English. And at that time, my Spanish was not all that great as well. And together, Grace and I went on the air tonight on that first night, to do the show. And I interviewed Grace, and she came back with questions to me, and we just laughed almost the entire hour that we were on the show because her English was not great. My Spanish was not that great at the time, and it was just amazing, but we got through it. And Grace, if you're out there and you're listening, and I know it's been some time, if you're out there listening, Grace, I just want to say that thank you so much for all that you did, because it was Grace who actually got me started on the air. And so I just told her what I wanted, and Grace just hit the bushes going out there to see that it happens. So I am very, very grateful to Grace. And if you're listening out there, and we lost contact after maybe about 2 years ago. Grace was starting to study psychology, and I encouraged her to go on with her education. And from time to time, we were trying to keep in touch, but then I went on as well to other things. So it's been a great ride. We've got a great show. I've had a number of I've had actually one other co-host, and I have now Ms. Blake, who's been with me for more than 2 years, I believe. And now Ms. Audrey Blake, the author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, she's now her own, in her own right. She's now a radio show host of her own, and I'm going to be bringing her on. Enough about me. You can go to my website, drjessewalker.com, or you can also go to drjessewalkerinc.com, either one of those. Listen to some of those archive shows, well over 950 shows. You can check out my book, After the Passion, Now What. life coaching, but you can catch all of that on the air. I don't want to say much more about me. But let's go ahead at this time and bring in my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, all the way from either South Carolina, Atlanta, or somewhere in the world where she may have traveled. So, Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening, and thank you for being with me for so long.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. Walker, and thank you so much. I'm in South Carolina this week, so it's always a pleasure and a privilege to participate and be here with our audience for these shows every Tuesday.
Ms. Blake, it is such an honor and pleasure, as always, to have you with me each and every week. And I want you to go ahead and give your commercial at this time and include your top-of-the-line show.
Oh, thank you. You're so kind. And I was just listening to what you said about how you got started, and I'm appreciative for you and your assistance in helping me to get started as well. So I am an author and life coach and speaker, and I have a day job too, so it's funny.
Okay.
But anyway, I feel very blessed. I'm the author, as Dr. Walker said. There are two books, Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, and then the, the revised version of it, Falling in Love with Me. And these books can be found, you can ask for them at your bookstore, but the easiest way is to just go online. We have both online books as well as paperback copies available for sale. And just check out Amazon.com, go in the books and type Falling in Love with Me and my name. I'm Audrey Blake. Or if you want an easier way, you can go to my company website, which is www.fosteringleaders.org. That's fosteringleaders.org. On there, you'll find a little bit more about the services I offer, which include, of course, as I said, life coaching. We do one-on-one coaching by phone from anywhere across the country. And if you have a plan, we can help you get there. If you don't have a plan, we can develop one and still help you get there. Dr. Walker is also a life coach, so I definitely want to acknowledge that, and also an author, as he stated. I think, Dr. Walker, you probably don't give yourself enough credit for all the wonderful things you do, which is, I guess, a sign of humility.
I know. I guess I could, but my mother has always taught me, you know, to remain humble. And I'm grateful. I'm blessed beyond my wildest dreams. And you know, my mission now, I've come to the realization that my mission now in life, because I have been so tremendously blessed, is to give back. And that's how I want to do with my life now. It's a matter of, I mean, God has blessed me. I've experienced so much, and now it's just, I don't really have need for much more, you know, other than just be loved and appreciated and just simply to give back and, you know, just like, you know, you with your radio show. And I know the type of person that you are. You're such a giving and caring person. And I know that you too, you know, give back to communities and helping people, because that's what you do. And I'm just so grateful to have you as part of the team to be with me. And I just enjoy knowing that you're having multiple success.
Well, thank you. And the last thing I just want to say very quickly, you mentioned the radio show. So there is a radio show that's been launched. It's been launched since March of this year, and it's called Two Sips and Conversation. And the premise behind the show is providing a forum for adults, preferably more mature adults, so those maybe 30 plus, that can sit back at the end of their hectic day. Comes on at 9 o'clock on Monday evening from 9 to 10. You dial the same call number as you called in to get this show. And we talk about relationships, and we talk very openly about relationships and sexuality, but very tastefully. So I always tell people, you know, you might want to put the kids to bed, but you definitely will find what I call intellectually stimulating conversation. And our goal is to just reach people out there. A lot of people going through the same things, and we want them to know that, you know what, it's normal. It's not abnormal. And, of course, as always, we don't take the place of professional help. So that's it. Again, it's Two Sips in Conversation on Monday evenings by calling the same number you call into this station. And we hope to have a few listeners join in from time to time.
All right. That's excellent. Well, tonight we have a very special guest. She's our featured guest, and we're going to be bringing her in momentarily. I mean, I had an opportunity to hear this young lady speak this recent Saturday, and I tell you, I was taken aback just at the powerful message that she presented. It was a women's ministry day, I think it was, and she not only had a message for women, but she had a message for the men. And I mean, I didn't, Ms. Blake, I want you to know I didn't waste any time trying to wait my turn in line to introduce myself to her to see if I could, you know how I am. Whenever there's somebody that I know that we can, that can be a blessing to so many other people, you know I don't waste time trying to get to them. Just like, you know, we've had so many other professional people on there, lawyers, doctors, teachers, politicians. And, you know, we'll try to get anybody that we possibly can on this show because we're trying to get messages out there that somewhere along the way someone else can benefit. And, you know, as always, the disclaimer here is that the opinions that are expressed on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show are not those that are necessarily endorsed by the host or co-host, but and those opinions are basically those of my own opinion, and it's not a reason or rationale for any professional advice in the areas of psychiatry, psychology, or legal advice for that matter. All the information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. And just as our featured guests or co-hosts or even our callers, all the opinions are basically strictly for educational purposes only. And if you should desire any psychiatric, psychological, or counseling services or legal services for that matter, we certainly encourage you to contact the appropriate professional agency for that help. Ms. Blake, let me just ask you before we bring our featured guest in, as a life coach, do you find that that differs much from, let's say, a marriage and family therapist? Because coach has become a very big word now.
Right. Yes, it does. It does differ. And I think one of the things that, in my opinion, is the difference, particularly if that person you're going to is simply a life coach. Now, if they are a therapist / life coach, then they have additional studies and training. But one of the things that I tend to say is people who are purely life coaches like myself need to be very cognizant of the difference and to be able to know when the line, when a patient or a client, I'm sorry, I've been working at a healthcare center all day, when a client steps or nears that line. And what I mean by that is simply that you have to refer to a therapist. When the issues are deeper than just goal setting and advising and coaching, but gets more into some psychosocial things that need a deeper therapeutic approach. And you can have both, by the way.
Right, right. You certainly can. Let's go ahead at this time. I want to just give you a little background information on it. This is Mrs. Janice Walker. She's preferred to be called just Janice. She is a one who's done a one tour of duty in the United States Air Force. Other information on her, where she was stationed in England and Arizona. I remember being in England several years. During her four-year military tour, the Professional Military Education Academy, the Air Force Achievement Medal. She was awarded these things, the Air Force Achievement Medal, an overseas ribbon, and a below-the-zone promotion. I guess she'll tell us about that because you know what? as I read her bio, I was thinking that I wanted to be in the Air Force, and I remember making noise, and my father wanted me to go into the Army, and I didn't want to go into the Army, so I made some noise that my mother would sort of rescue me, Miss Blake, and I didn't end up going to neither one of them. And I wish now that my father had been the man of the house and just kind of disciplined me in such a way that I could have gone on and gone to the service. But nevertheless, I didn't turn out so bad. Ms. Walker is she's currently an associate general counsel for the largest utility in the United States, Duke Energy Corporation. It's a Fortune 100 company where she provides legal support for Duke Energy renewables, wind and solar energy generation projects. She was the first and only African-American female attorney at Duke Energy's predecessor. She's licensed to practice law by the Supreme Court of Ohio, the Federal Court of the Southwest District of Ohio, the United States Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, and the United States Supreme Court. She has been the keynote speaker for a Fortune 100 company and presenter for the Cincinnati Area Women's Networks Conference. She attended, which was attended by over 400 corporate and professional women in the greater Cincinnati area. She has also conducted financial workshops for churches in Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, and Cleveland, and Miami, Florida. Well, you know, most of us from the South, when we hear Cleveland, we kind of try to leave that out because LeBron James left us. but he's paying for it now. He's paying for it now because Golden State's beating up on them so embarrassingly. And Ms. Walker may speak to that when she comes on. She is also a member of the Cincinnati Bar and Ohio Bar Association. She is a YMCA Black Achiever Awards recipient, a graduate of the Cincinnati Academy of Leadership for Lawyers, Class 6, and is listed in both the 4th and 7th edition of Who's Who in Black Cincinnati. And finally, in 2014, she became a number one best-selling author on Amazon with her book. Okay, here's another author, Women and Lemons. Your time is now. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to some and introduce to others, attorney Janice Walker. Ms. Walker, can you hear me?
Yes, Dr. Walker, I can hear you.
Very good. Welcome, and thank you for joining us on the air. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I'm just tired just by reading your brief bio.
Yeah, it's brief. That's brief enough. It's so good to be here, and I'm so glad for the opportunity and the invitation. It just really warmed my heart for you to extend it, and I'm happy to be a guest on your show this evening.
All right. Thank you so much. And Ms. Blake, you have a few welcoming words, Ms. Blake, as well.
Yes, I'd like to welcome you to the show, and I see we have some similar ties. I lived in Ohio for about 9 years, and so I get the whole LeBron thing. I was there when he left.
Ms. Blake, okay. I didn't even want to touch Dr. Walker's comment on that. See, I'll just go about that.
Okay, we won't go there. Well, anyway, tell us about your book before we get into tonight's topic. Just tell us about your book in 2014. You know, you became the number one best-selling author.
Yeah, it's called Women's and Lemons. Your Time Is Now, Begin Your Adventure to Live Your Dream. And actually, it was written with the mature woman in mind, the woman who probably just toppled over 40 into 50, her 50s. And what I was finding, Dr. Walker, in this place, is that at the company where I worked, when I would see women perhaps in the hallway or in some other seminar, I would just kind of ask them what was going on. And by and large, I would say 90% of the time, the response would be something similar to, well, I have a grandchild now, or, you know, something of that nature. And my thought was, yeah, but what about you? Because it seems that, you know, 50s, you know, what is it, 30 is the 50s, new 30. With that thought in mind, you have so much, you know, life, and two of your children are grown there. That means they're gone. You're an empty nester. So you have this bucket of time that you've been given back that I was wondering, what were women doing with it? And it seemed that they were resolved to say, well, it's all downhill from now. And my thought was, no. Let's rev up the engines and get moving and get going into that second life of your hopes, your dreams, your desires, your expectations, all those things that you wanted to do that you have not done, that you put on hold because you were tending to everybody else's needs, your husband, your children, the church, the community, your education, your employer, all these things that you've had going on for the last 2 to 3 decades, you know, now you have a bucket of time where you can enjoy some of the things that you put on hold. So that was the whole premise for it. It was, you know, women's and lemons, and I did it purposely women's because we all know that it has to be an apostrophe S, but I didn't put that because I knew people would ask, well, that's not the way it's supposed to be, and I would say, I know. But it was, the thought is, women, you know, you've had so many lemons in life and you made lemonade. Now, you know, let's make something different. Let's make some lemon meringue pie or some lemon tarts or some lemon, something else with those lemons, because you've done so much for everybody else up to this point.
I think that that's an excellent thought, and we're glad to have you tonight. Tonight's topic is, are you enjoying your season of life with your significant other? And Ms. Blake, you well know that, you know, we sometimes we pull off the gloves and we go, you know, bare knuckled, and we talk about these things. You know, why is it that a lot of people who once started out so desperately in love, it seemed, that all of a sudden they can't stand each other, and relationships end up, marriages sometimes end up in divorce. And according to statistics, they're at about an alarming 55% now. You know, how do you divide people up into a percentage like that where it's no longer even 50%, it's a 55%? And then, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, you can check with somebody in 3 months and status has changed. So if you have somebody out there in the wind waiting, you can oftentimes just say, well, you know, I'll check back with you in about 3 months. And then you check back with them in 3 months and statuses have changed. Just let me ask you, Ms. Blake, let's just start this one off tonight, and then we'll go to the night story. Why do you think it is that some of these people who once started out enjoying each other, the dynamics of that relationship changed all of a sudden?
A lot of things. The one thing I'll touch on, and it probably ties into what our guest is going to talk about tonight, is the fact that sometimes, speaking for women, some women get so absorbed in the children and the responsibility. One of the things I've always tried to do is have balance. I've not always been successful at it, but those women who don't have the balance and get really absorbed in their children and build their lives around it, the couple starts to build their life around it, and then those kids are going to graduate or and move away, hopefully, and do something with their lives, and then they're left looking at each other and they don't even know each other and maybe can no longer stand each other.
And that's one of the drawbacks that we have. All right, let's go to the story tonight. And Ms. Walker, we're going to be prepared to give you our first line of questions. Tonight's characters are Jackie and Kenny. Tonight's topic, once again, is, are you enjoying your season of life with your significant other? After 6 years of what was once a promising marriage, Jackie and Kenny called it quits. To everyone's surprise, this couple shocked all their family and friends, because if any couple appeared to truly be in love, it was clearly this couple. They were inseparable. They have 2 young children, ages 2 and 4. Now this couple is seriously depressed, and they're actually lonely without each other. Their once loving season came to an abrupt end when 2 years ago, when they allowed family and friends to infringe on their relationship by actually telling them too much intimate things about their significant other. Now, some of the issues that actually brought this to an end included, their family and friends started looking at the other spouse with cross eyes when they were telling things. And the couple also started taking separate vacations. The couple stopped doing those things that actually kept them together and having fun with each other and being best of friends and best, like, not just friends, but partners. And tonight we start out our question, our line of questions with, and we ask Ms. Walker, and that one is, you know, does family and friends really have to, do you have to allow them to infringe on your relationship?
No, Dr. Walker, no. I think what happens is because, you know, as you grow up, you're close to your family and you're close to your friends, and perhaps in many cases you may have known them before. In this case, Jackie may have known them, or Kenny may have known his family and friends before they met each other. So you have kind of like an anchor or a foundation there that typically if people come and go, but your family, they're always there. So perhaps one of them or both of them may have relied on their family a bit much, especially when they should have been relying on each other. For instance, in terms of communication, men and women speak different languages. They do, but they must, you know, the five love languages, but they must learn each other's love language and basically let the other one know what works for them and what doesn't. And oftentimes people won't do that, so they'll begin acting out. In other words, so when you say start taking separate vacations, well, that's a big red flag right there for me because
right. The
spouse or the significant other should be the person that you're closest to on the planet. And I tell you, just me personally, I mean, to me, I couldn't enjoy a vacation without my spouse because we are, you know, we're like kindred spirits when we go, and he is so hilarious and so funny. So, I mean, I could just think of vacations in my mind now where he's done things that I still laugh about, and that might have been 10 years ago. So I think, like you said, yes, the family can infringe. Yes, you can tell too much because what happens is when, let's just say, the wife, in this case, Jackie, if she tells her mom or her sisters or those, you know, other relatives or best friends, well, when she makes up with Kenny, they're still looking cross-eyed because they don't have,
right. You
know, they're like, oh, she's talking to him again. So it's just, you know, why you can share some things, the intimate details, really should be shared with your spouse, or if you want a therapist, get that. But, you know, you really should talk to them about what goes on. There should be some parameters set around your marriage. You know, you, Jesus, and your spouse, you, the Lord, and your spouse, and the other people are on the next tier of that, not into that tier.
Mm-hmm. How dangerous is it when you start to bring friends in and you start to maybe hang out more with your friends than your significant other, in your opinion?
That's a red flag, and it's very dangerous. Again, that person is supposed to be the most important person to you, and if you start hanging out with friends more so, that means you're trying to escape. You don't want to deal with the issues, and at some point, you know, it's going to snowball because it's all rolling downhill. So it's better to, you know, nip it in the bud at the very beginning stages and have some understanding, set some guidelines and some rules and some parameters about how we do things, meaning if we have a disagreement, you know, we're not calling each other names or cursing each other out or things like that. Again, there are parameters about how you do things. And, you know, if everybody can agree to it in a calm moment, then those should be the things that you lend yourself to when it gets kind of sticky. So it's very dangerous.
Okay.
To work.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's very dangerous, and you're headed for trouble when you start down that kind of path.
Okay. What about family? I mean, there's a saying that God chooses your family, you choose your friends. What about family who's been with you through thick and thin, and they are always there for you, and you feel that, you know, my family means more to me than my significant other? Is that a dangerous sign if a man feels that way or the woman feels that way? If a man feels, well, you know, my mom, you know, it's always my mom this or my mom that or my sibling this or my sibling that, where it doesn't appear that wife feels as comfortable or vice versa. How dangerous is that? And I mean, is that outside of the natural element of things?
Yeah, I think it's very dangerous because, you know, I believe in the Bible. That's me, my opinion, my thoughts, but according to the word, it says, you know, two shall become one flesh. And so in that, becoming one flesh, that person takes priority and precedent over, you know, over your family. You're making a new family. You have a new nucleus now. So therefore, you have to you know, act accordingly with that. And like you said, it becomes dangerous when people pull everybody else into that nucleus. Yes, you know, you have in-laws, but still by and large, when a husband and wife, they're making a decision about where to live, what car to buy, where their kids are going to go to school, when to have kids. Those are decisions that are to be made between those two individuals and not everybody chiming in with their 2 or 3 cents.
Okay, I think that that's so important. If you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, you can listen live via internet at drjessewalker.com, press the play button, or you can listen live. If you are listening by way of internet, you can just call in 347-857-1769. You can, if you want to speak to myself, the co-host, or to our featured guest, Ms. Janice Walker, this evening, please press 1 on your dial, and we also welcome your comments. We'll try to get to as many calls as we possibly can this evening. And we're already halfway through the show, and we haven't even gotten to some of the meat of things. Let me go, Ms. Blake. Let's come in here. Did you have a question or two that you wanted to throw out there in reference to enjoying your season? Yeah, I mean, we talk about a season. That sounds like it's a, you know, it's a designated time that could possibly end. I mean, like mango season. That's not all year round.
Right. Definitely, I'd like to ask our special guest this evening, what advice do you have for women as to how to start to really, you know, enjoy their season, because there's such a maternal instinct sometimes in women that, you know, now I'm, like for me, instance, I've just become a grandmother, a grandmommy, as I call it, in my 50s. And so what advice do you have for women out there so they don't just start to say, okay, now I got to get everything for the grands, and I got to do this for the grands. You know, how do you help them to say, to take that time for them?
I think it's like, and that's a really, you know, that's an excellent question and thought. And I, when I was doing some radio interviews related to the book, that question would always come up, by the way. And I would, my response would be that just recognize how significant and how important that you are. And I think a comment that you made earlier alludes to this, that women get so busy helping and assisting and dealing with everyone else on so many levels, financially, emotionally, you know, in terms of they look for them for direction, that they really lose themselves. And then when you look up, they don't know what to do for themselves. So I say start by doing things like things that you haven't done for yourself in a while. Just small things like when's the last time you bought a nice dress for yourself, one that made you feel nice? When's the last time you had a manicure or a pedicure? Or when's the last time that you sat and just had lunch by yourself? See, men will do that. Women seldom will do that because it's strange. It's something that they're not used to. But it's a freeing feeling, and it's very empowering to do it because you're saying, I'm going to take some time for me. Now, other people can have some, but it's not going to be to the point that at this stage in the game where they get it all. You know, I reserve a portion of that for me. So just like you said, just browsing the mall by yourself, maybe not wanting to buy anything, but just looking around to see what you see, taking some time for you on a frequent and regular basis. That's what, I mean, that's really starting really, really small, too. There's nothing that you have to buy, nowhere that you have to go, but just saying, hey, you know what? I do deserve this. I have, you know, been in the workforce this long. I have raised my children and done a good job with that. I have, you know, been active in my church. I have done all these things, and that kind of left me out or by the wayside, so I'm going to pick me up at this time because during the 50s, today, women oftentimes they have more disposable income. They, you know, they're living longer than their parents. They're healthy, have a better quality of life. So now I'm saying it's a time where you have all this perfect, you know, these perfect dimensions that are working for her. So then take those, and especially at the mature stage, because now she's more wise. She's making better decisions. Her judgment is better. So take those, and the first thing she should tend to is, let me do something for me, because typically we're thought that it's selfish, or, you know, you're thinking about yourself, but no, not in this regard, it's not.
Wow, I think that's an excellent point. I think that that's an excellent point and perspective. Let me pose this particular question then. You mentioned the church. The church oftentimes is filled with such a large number of women by ratio of the number of men.
Right.
And I still research this to try to figure out why. And women may give the inclination in some instances that they're, you know, they're spiritual based. But it sounds, and I've heard a number of women that are looking for a man in the church, and they present themselves a certain way. But then when that man gets with some of them, it's not the same woman that he may have encountered in that church. And this is usually after marriage. What causes, I mean, and see, he thought that maybe his season was going to be an enjoyable season because he had hoped to have gotten that particular woman that he met in a church. And women say it's all the time about the counter. But now he gets her, and now they're married, and it's not the same person. What happens in a case like that with women? Because you know that there's a larger number there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that women are, you know, they're used to, they're emotional creatures in terms of their vulnerabilities. Men, sorry, Dr. Walker, I got to say this. Men sometimes with the testosterone, they have a more harder exterior, so it may be more difficult to penetrate them. Men may see going to church as feminine. You know, it may seem something like, you know, real men don't do this, that kind of thing, because I've heard comments like that, and you may hear that in the media sometimes. That may be, you know, that may be one of the reasons. I think there are various factors for that. In terms of the bait and switch, that you mentioned, that would be unfortunate. I would say I hope if he didn't do a lot of due diligence to find out who she was, and he found out that she was a totally different character, you know, it still may be redeemable from a standpoint of somebody to work with, because there was something initially about her that he liked, that drew him to her, that he was attracted to. So, and it depends on how long he dated her. Now, if he dated her for a month, well, you probably didn't get to know it all. But if he, you know, dated for a couple of years, you should have been able to see some of the real person come through. Now, a lot of people don't pay attention to the signs. That may be that's another issue. But, you know, overall, I would say that if one is found in that situation, that to try to find something that's redeeming or salvageable in that situation, or to see if they can.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because now as I think about it, I mean, those dynamics of even the male, you know, when the woman does find someone and he's presented himself this way or a certain way, then all of a sudden now when you're starting to live together, it's a whole different ballgame. And I know you say that if you've dated him for 1 month, you may not be able to identify certain things. But after 2 years, you should. And I like how you put that. It sounds lawyering, actually. You know, you should be able to pick up. You should be able to pick up.
Even with that, you've heard their own saying. There's a respect heard it too, that you don't know somebody until you live with them. So, you know.
They're going to find out
anyway, no matter how long that you date, until you live with somebody, because now you have dirty socks and you have a dirty face cloth to worry about, and people dropping stuff on the floor. You're saying, hey, you pick that up. So that's a whole separate issue. But the bottom line, I think my mom used to say something like it's a little good in the worst of us and a little bad in the best of us. So it hardly behooves three of us to talk about the rest of us. So there's always something about somebody that you could say you could change or you want differently. But my own experience, and I've had some growing pains over the last couple of years, to where I'm understanding really how to be a better wife, how to be a better helpmeet, how to be a better soulmate. And those things are looking at what my husband, I know what he likes, and I know what he doesn't. He doesn't like nagging. He doesn't like me, you know, pointing every little thing out. So why would I continue to do that when I know he doesn't like that? So I'm just, you know, they say you, each person should be the person that somebody would want to be married to. So instead of trying to change somebody else, you try, I want to be the best wife that I can, so that another pretty face to walk past, she may be pretty, but he may say, well, you know, I got my own work in progress right here, and I've been seeing the results of the efforts that the person puts in, and therefore that kind of helps to take you back to what you loved about him in the first place.
Right. That is something that needs to be on a T-shirt, what you just said right there, because that is one of the things, me as a man, I would speak to that and say, you know, when you know you got a work in progress at home, then, and the woman can even say the same thing, I got a work in progress at home, it makes you want to go home because, you know, it's not just another pretty face that you're looking at out there, but you know what you've got at home. And the fact that she or he is putting forth that effort, you know, because they're thinking about you, and I think that that becomes so important. We're going to go to the phones, and we appreciate you all, your patience for waiting. Let's go to the phone line. It's going to go to 305-684. Thank you. You're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, and welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Tim.
Tim, thanks for joining us. Tim, did you have a question for our featured guest or otherwise?
I'm sorry. I didn't catch her name.
Miss Walker or Janet. Go ahead.
Miss Walker. You said something kind of interesting, but I have something to say about a lot of that. Why do women feel like they need to change a man once they get with a man and don't accept him for the man that he was when they first met him?
I think that people have an idea of what they want, and then they'll think they'll get any, whatever they have, they try to mold that into their ideal. A lot of times women, the ideas that they get come from their father, how they were raised, because he was the man in many cases that had the most influence in their life. So they're trying to make something of what's familiar to them, what they're used to, and the standards. Like in my mind, I have, you know, my father, I say he was a man's man. I mean, he was, back in the day, he meant what he said. He didn't take a lot of crap. So, you know, Mr. Archie Walker, he always had money in his pocket. So, you know, me growing up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I want to be that. I want to be like that. So I think that's what we try to project onto the people that are important to us or that are in our lives. We want to change them into the image that we think of, how I see a man or what I think a man should be, what I think he should do. So the right or the wrong, yeah, that's how they think sometimes.
Okay, but I don't think that that's what it's fair to try to change a man from being the man he was when you first met him. Because if he was a man that you met and you fell in love with him or wanted to be with him, then so why get with him and then try to change him? That usually happens after marriage.
Oh yeah, I agree. Now I agree. Yeah, sometimes that's right. Yeah, no question. It's right. And I think as women grow older, hopefully they kind of see that and see the wisdom in, like you said, letting you be exactly who you are, because nobody wants to be put in a box or basically trying to be changed by another person, because, you know, the fallacy is that you can change someone because you really can't, and everybody knows that. So, like I said, so why to continue to do it is the change to focus, the person should focus on themselves, what they can do differently, how they can do things differently to make the relationship a better relationship.
All right. Jim, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to start taking some of the comments that have come in. Ms. Blake, did you have a question or a comment?
No, not at this time. I think we should go to the comments. Thanks.
All right. Just before we go to the comment section, we're going to let you know what next week's show is. I'm going to give you a sneak preview here. And the topic producer let me know now, should you actually live with someone before you get married? You know, Ms. Blake, you know me.
Yeah.
Ms. Blake, let me just,
sounds like a great topic.
Let me just, should you live with someone before you get married? Because, you know, the question becomes now, I mean, since so many marriages are ending in divorce, then, you know, can it just be an arrangement? You know, we talk about, this is not my spiritual show, that's the Friday night show. So this one, we just kind of keep it real. You know how I am, Ms. Blake. And
mm-hmm.
you know, let me throw that out there to you, Ms. Blake. Do you think people should live together before? And I send that out there that you got all of the probably religious people around the world listening to your comment, Ms. Blake, and they know who you are. You know,
that's okay.
It doesn't matter who I am. You know me.
It's okay because I do two sips in conversation, and we talk about everything on that show.
I know you all are X-rated on there. I listen to that show. I need a filter when I listen to that show.
I'm going to put this out here. That's my little disclaimer. As a biblical standpoint, the answer is obviously no. But as a practical standpoint, and for most people, they say, well, that ends it right there. But from a practical standpoint, you really don't know people when you are before you live with them. You don't. But the problem is, be careful, because you get stuck in that thing, and it's still that whole why buy the cow if you're getting the milk for free.
Amen.
Well, you know, Ms. Blake, my take, and Ms. Walker, my take is that God is the institutor of marriage. You know, the institution of marriage is ordained by God. I should say it that way. The institution of marriage is ordained by God. But I don't believe, this is just my personal humble opinion, that every marriage is of God. I don't believe that.
I agree.
And so people people say, well, I prayed for this and I prayed for that. And it's like, no, you wanted that dude and before, or you wanted that woman. And, you know, when you're starting to go to counseling, you've already put down on the hall and all of this kind of stuff. I mean, Ms. Walker, we're trying to be kind of diplomatic because you're our featured guest and you're first time on. But, yeah. But you know, we can get real with it. Let me ask you, Ms. Walker, should a person live with someone before they get married, in your opinion?
Now, my opinion, like Ms. Blake said, I'll have to disclaim if you go by strictly the Bible, which I believe in, I would say no. Now, let me say this. Obviously, there's a significant part of the world that doesn't believe in that, and they don't go by that. So if you are one of those individuals that say, well, you know, it's just cheaper for me to do X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 blah. Well, the only thing I have to say, Dr. Walker, sometimes I watch Judge Judy, and if I had a dollar for every time somebody's coming on the court and they wanted some type of, you know, a separation of furniture, and she says, you come here, you don't want to get married, but you want the benefits of marriage. I can't divvy it up like that. That's not how it works. So that's my thought. It's kind of like, if you're going to do that, then you still need, because the marriage, you know, has some expectations to it. So if you're saying I'm not a biblical person, I don't believe in that, which obviously people don't, but I happen to say again, I do. It would not work for me. But I'm saying for the people who do that, then what are the expectations? Because there has to be some discussion about who's going to do what. How are we going to do what we're going to do? We just don't fall in and just start living together as a married couple. So what are we going to do? So to me, there should be some discussion about how this thing is going to work out. If it doesn't work out, then what does it look like? And nobody wants to talk about that. But that's the same thing that prenups do. So it's kind of, you know, nobody wants to anticipate the end. But as you said earlier, so much of it does end. So I just think that oftentimes the women seem to get the short end of the stick, because a lot of times, too, Dr. Walker, Ms. Blake, these days, you know, he's moving into her house. He's moving into her apartment. He's moving into her so-and-so.
Sure.
I'm just, you find out, you look at, when they break up, you find out that he's done that to five other people. So apparently he's looking for a place to stay.
Absolutely.
Just saying.
It is so true.
That will be a great show.
Yeah, it is. You live with someone before you get married to them. And, you know, as I think about what you're saying here, and I'm thinking, well, my goodness, people do. And Ms. Walker, I'm telling you, if you had been on some of our previous shows and you hear how the audience and how we just take off those gloves, you would say, wow, these people, I don't know. But I agree with you. And I want to go even a step further and say, I think components of family law where they talk about marriage, divorce, child custody, separation, legal separation, and so forth and so on. I think components of that, and you can call it under consumer science, which is the new name for home economics, those classes. They call it consumer science in some states. But I think that components of family law should be taught to children with application processes in the middle school setting. Because I think kids need to know. They need to start from as early on, because they're having sex in elementary school now. So why can't they get some education on relationship stuff? And even to the point of marriage, middle school, high school, they need to know. the dynamics of this. And when you have a baby and all of these other components, and then even, I mean, I know people go to mediation, you know, prior to marriage, and states vary. But by the time somebody is going to counseling, they have already made up their mind. And I've counseled a number of people, and I'm one of your non-traditional counselors. And I tell them, look, from what I hear with this particular couple, I tell them, I say, I don't think that you all should really be together, but it's your decision. There is nothing compatible. There is not even the chemistry is there. And I've advised people on that, and I've seen marriages break up inside of a year. And it's like, I keep it real. Let's go to the phone lines once again, and we're running out of time. We've got about 8 minutes. These producers are once again threatening me. Let's go to 305-803. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We can't. All right, we'll try to come back to that one. Let's go to New York, 917-399. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi. Who do we have with us this evening?
Hi, this is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, do you have a question or a comment?
My comment is I don't think that we should be teaching that in middle school. I think it should start in high school.
Okay. All right. And why high school?
Huh? Why high school? Because kids are going into puberty at that age. You know, they're starting to have, they're starting to have relationship with boys and girls. And I think that's the best time to start. Yeah.
Angela, they are having boyfriends and girlfriends in elementary school. Which, you know.
Yeah, but
they're
talking about marriage. They're not ready for marriage at that age.
No, they're not ready for marriage, but I'm thinking components of family law, you know, things that can happen in a marriage should be taught. I mean, and again, that's my humble opinion, and we appreciate yours as well. Ms. Walker, let me pass it over to you and ask you, what do you think? Is that really, from your perspective, is that really too, as an attorney, who's, I'm sure you're familiar with areas of family law because, you know, for me as an aspiring attorney to be, you know, law touches every aspect of our lives. So even though you may not be certified or an expert in that area, you've had some foundation on that. So from your perspective, would you say that middle school may be a little young for components of family law?
Yeah, it may be just a tad bit for that. I would say probably around, you know, 14, 15, somewhere around there. And by the way, I did practice family law for about a year and a half, actually, before I went in-house at Duke. So I actually have gone through with clients divorce, disillusioned, and those kind of things. And even after I stopped practicing, I've talked to so many women because people will call and ask you for referrals for that area. So just talking to women who are going through a divorce, who have gone through a divorce, and, it does impact the children. And I think that's from Angela. Maybe that's the standpoint that he's talking about because it's going to impact them, and it's something that oftentimes children never get over. But like you said, the age would have to be, to me, I'd have to give that some thought, and I want to just say to be saying. But I think that in terms of family law and what it touches on, because it touches every aspect of the family, is something that should be considered, and the age would be a to be determined in terms of what age would be appropriate for that.
Okay. Well, Ms. Blake, what are your thoughts, just quickly? And we got to get to these comments. They're telling me if I want to keep on the air, I got to get to the comments. Go ahead, Ms. Blake.
So very quickly, I ran teen programs in the high schools and middle schools back in the early 2000s, and they're still running. And the bottom line is so much is happening in middle school, it's unbelievable. Kids are becoming sexually active. So I think I always used to emphasize to parents, you can't wait until you think they're active. You need to talk to them much sooner because by the time you start, it may be too late.
Great point.
That is a great point. And having been in the education arena for more than 32 plus years, I see some of these kids, I mean, I deal with alternative to outdoor suspension programs now, and I'm getting elementary school kids who have been suspended for sexual misconduct. And these are elementary school kids. We're talking 10, 11 years of age. And so that's why I was mentioning that. We got to take some of the comments. Let's try to go back to 305-803. Who do we have on the air? All right, then perhaps they just want to listen in. Let me go here with, and take some of the comments in reference to tonight's topic. Are you enjoying your season of love, or your season of life, that is, with your significant other? This female writes in, and Ms. Walker will give you this first comment. She says, I didn't realize how much I missed my season with my ex-husband until after we divorced. Had I known then what I know now, I would have not divorced my husband. I made an emotional decision at the time, one that I seriously regret. I hear so many women say that, Ms. Walker, you know, why, and men too, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know, if I had only known then what I know now, I mean, why now?
I'm not sure. She must have, there must be something that happened that where she's looking in 2020 hindsight, and I think those types of individuals who have that thought or concept, it probably would be helpful, so helpful to those who may be contemplating ending their marriage, because, you know, maybe they can get a different perspective to say, you know, something else too, the grass may look greener on the other side of the fence, but it still needs to be mowed. So, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes we just don't realize how priceless it is until it's gone. So for other people who may be contemplating that, it may be good for that particular person who made that comment to maybe find a way to help others who may be contemplating a divorce. You know, there may be something for that group of people, which I don't think it is currently, because I haven't heard anything like that, other than, you know, counseling that people may go to. But it may give them a different perspective, and they may be able to look at their relationship in a different light. And experience right. in a different way, and a new relationship with the same person.
Okay, right. With a new person, you're absolutely right. Okay,
no, with the same person. Yeah, new relationship with the same person. You can do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you change
with the same person.
You change you. Yeah, if you change you, then you can have a new relationship with the same person.
Oh, with the same person. Okay, I see where you're coming from. Okay. Angela, we're going to give you this next comment. This male writes in. He says, my wife and I enjoy each other now, but it was not always like this because we allowed others to interfere too often in our marital affairs. What do you think the message is behind that, Angela?
I think that's kind of true, because we allow family members and friends to give us advice on our relationship, so it kind of affects our relationship. I used to be like that, maybe in my 20s, but once I started connecting with my husband, we don't live near our family, so they're not the type of family members that can come over and interfere. I mean, and the only time they really interfered was when I called them and kept them abreast of what was going on, because I always felt like I was alone by myself, living in the city with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to hold that thought just for a second. Let's go to the phone lines once again. 786-306. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the air with us?
Stanley.
Stanley, thank you for joining us, Stanley. Did you have a quick comment or a question, Stanley?
Yeah, I have a quick question for the lawyer. If two people dating and they're going to get married, and both parties have their own house, I would like to know which one the house is best to move into, either the woman's house or the man's house when you get married.
That's interesting. I would say this real quickly. I've seen people do it both ways. It just depends. You know, sometimes one house is bigger. In some instances, you know, there's a preference there that the other person was looking forward to go to the other place, anyway. And then, you know, you can put the if two houses are in two different people's names as individuals, you know, there may be a thought of, well, do we want to both be on the title to this house? So there are some legal thoughts there. But if you have two people that both want to live in their homes, then that's some discussion to say, you know, if we're going to start our life off like this, we need to be able to look at significant decisions and figure out a way to come to an agreement that both of us can live with. So it's not a right
okay,
or wrong
that,
either way.
Uh-huh. And I think, you know, go ahead, Stanley, real quickly.
I was thinking it's much easier for the man to move in the woman's house than the woman move into the man's house, because just in case any problem in the relationship, it's easier for the man pack his bag and walk out than to get the woman out of his house.
So, Stanley, you know, you're going to move out. And, you know, I say, you know, and this is not legal advice from me, I would just say, why don't you sell both houses and start fresh into a new place and put both of your names on the title and try to make
that's
it work.
And that's the thought. And as Dr. Walker said earlier, we're not trying to give legal advice because it depends on what state you're in. But that is that is a good thought as well. So, again, this is for educational, informational purposes and things to consider. But certainly, you know, there may be some time there that you want to consult with an attorney in your state.
Right, absolutely. And we've got about we're going to take about three more comments, and we're going to ask you all to be brief on that. Ms. Blake, let's bring you in for one more here, for one of the comments. This male writes in, he says, in reference to, are you enjoying the season of life with your significant other? I think people's seasons run out shortly after the honeymoon because some people are in relationships for the wrong reasons. Usually they have an ulterior motive for being with someone. How true is that?
It does happen sometimes, and I think that they quickly discover when they thought they were ready for a commitment and they're not. But even in that situation, as always, you know, they still have a choice, whether to try to work at it or to say, you know what, this is one of those marriages not ordained by God. So people always have a choice. That's my opinion.
All right. Ms. Walker, we're going to give you these final two. We're going over this by 2 minutes. This female writes in, she says, I personally think that people have become so preoccupied with things until they fail to keep the romance going in their relationships or marriages. You have to take quality time, and you have to make quality time for each other. Why is it so important to make the quality time?
Oh, it absolutely is, because my love language, I'm a doer, and time is important to me because it says that you're important. It says that you're a priority. I just encourage men to do little things like just, you know, pick up some of those roses by the guy on the corner and just take some home or send her a box of candy. Do things just once a month just to make her know that she is a priority and that she is on your mind. You would be surprised how that stops the nagging. You'd be surprised how that gets you a home run on every stretch. It's just those small things on a consistent basis, and you don't need a lot of money for that. So quality time, you know, go sit in the park somewhere. It's free. You know, just go take a drive somewhere. These small things where you all can basically bond and engage with each other, because that's where the intimacy is that leads to the physical intimacy.
All right. That's excellent. And then a final comment that we're going to be able to take over the air tonight because we're clearly out of time. This female, she says, and this goes to you, Ms. Walker, as well, I sincerely wish there was a manual on how to enjoy your seasons ongoing with your significant other, because I think it could save a lot of relationships. People, in my opinion, end relationships based on emotions. It sounds like she's kind of valid to me. She got a point there.
Absolutely. And Dr. Walker and Ms. Blake, there may be a book that we all three should write together or something, because it is very true. It's kind of like sometimes people say, well, how do I do this? Because there are so many ways, and sometimes people just don't know how to get started. They don't know how to, you know, try to start the car without the key. And maybe, like you said, there's some help to be had there, because it's certainly very, very important. Because to me, this can be your best time with yourself, because it's proven to be mine with my husband, Harold, who may be out there. Hi, Harold.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we're clearly out of time, Ms. Walker. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I wish you will come back. Can we get a commitment that you'll come back at least sometime at some point?
Oh, you sure will, and I'll be listening next week. So I'll be listening to you next week. So I certainly will come back sometime. Ms. Blake, it was a pleasure. And Dr. Walker, thank you so very much.
Thank you so much. Ms. Blake, take us home, if you will. Ms. Blake, take us home, and then I'll just final word.
Sure, and really quickly, I'd love for us, the three of us, to get together. We need to talk about a workshop. I see it. that's something to keep in mind.
I like that.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, make sure that you make good choices, as we always say, and don't be so quick to get tired of what you have, because the grass may not be greener on the other side. And as always, if you're in an abusive situation, we certainly do encourage you to get out of that.
All right, and on that note, we're clearly out of time, and as Ms. Walker said earlier, you know, the grass on the other side still needs mowing, and your grass will look green, too, if you water it and put the weed feeder in there as well. All right, on that note, we're clearly out of time. Join us this Friday. Thank all of my guests, all of my listeners, those of you all that we weren't able to get to, we do apologize. Keep listening. Tell your friends, your family about us. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us once again live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. That's a wrap.